San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, June 1st, 2025. Today's lesson is Give a Little Bit with Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning. That was an exciting song, and I'm going to tell you about it in a couple minutes, but first, let us anchor in. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence, which flows through all creation, and I call this God, the living Spirit Almighty. One, indestructible, absolute and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. So this is still 2025, and we are still with our annual theme of simple abundance, using the book by that name by Sarah Bond-Breathnot. But today is June 1st. It is a beautiful, high holy day of June. It just is, because I decided it is. So our talk today is about generosity and giving a little bit. Sarah Bond-Breathnot wrote about this month of June. She said, June is generous with her authentic gifts. Once again, the days are sunny and hot, the roses and peonies are in bloom, and it's a time to feast on strawberries and cream. School is over, summer camp begins, and visions of vacations dance in our heads. Our smiles deepen, our laughter increases, our hearts open. This month, we rediscover that it is life's enrichments rather than the riches of life that bring us true contentment. Life's enrichments. And through this month, we're going to be exploring different parts of this introductory paragraph. We're going to feast on strawberries and cream. Well, next week is giving from fullness. And it's also our potluck Sunday. So that's going to be exciting. And following that, we have Father's Day with more than enough. And the more than enough is love, is life, is everything that brings us great joy. On the 22nd, Reverend Mark will be speaking, and his lesson will be All That I Have, I Give. All that I have, I give. And I can't wait to hear how he tells us that and explains that to us, because it could go anywhere, anywhere. From a coin collection to a record collection to simply being brilliant and loving and wise and smiling at everyone. And all month long, we're going to be talking about gifts that are freely given. So generosity. June is generous. Generosity is a quality or fact, the quality of being. Generosity is the quality of being kind and generous. And so when we are being generous, that comes from a Latin word, generosus, which actually means magnanimous. Magnanimous. So when we are being generous, we are being magnanimous. And generosity comes from the Latin generositas and generous in English. In the late Middle English, generous meant being of noble birth. Isn't that surprising? We can see generosity as a character trait rather than as some ordained gift because of the family people are born into. It is a quality, a characteristic, and it is all It is all surrounded and immersed in love and being there for people as they need things and being there just to enjoy life with them. This song, Give a Little Bit, I want to tell you something about it. It's by Supertramp, and it was written for and played on a 12-string guitar. My beloved late husband, Reverend John Pulaski, had, of course, the 12-string guitar, which was his primary instrument when he performed. Give a Little Bit was a song that John loved to play on his own 12-string, because not that many songs are written with 12 strings in mind. He played it at his own induction ceremony when he became senior minister of San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. And he was literally giving a gift of his time and talent. He was sharing his love and a smile. And he always smiled really big when he sang that song. Another of his favorites that he played on his 12-string was a song by Libby Roderick called How Could Anyone? So we want to think about, what do these two of his favorite songs on 12 strings, what do they have in common? Well, they both emphasize giving a small amount of love and care and the huge difference that it makes in people's lives when we do. That's because spirit doesn't know little or large. So any gift is a really big deal, because all gifts is God expressing through and as us. The song Give a Little Bit is an expression that means to offer or to give a small amount of something, such as time, energy, or affection. And it suggests a willingness to make a small effort or sacrifice, often in a relationship, to help someone else. This song embodies the message of giving a small amount of love and care. It is giving and encouraging others to give, giving love, smiles, life, time, surprise at receptivity, and home and sharing. In the song, he says, "Don't you need to feel at home?" Many people remark that when they first attend a religious science of mind center, that they feel at home. And that's because they are receptive to the depth of unconditional love that is in places like this, when we recognize that we are all one. There is no separation. So when we can get beyond the you do things one way and I do things another, think of that as just you sing and I dance. All these different things don't separate us. They draw us together. Here we go. I changed how it looked in my notebook. In the Daily Word for October 26, 2021, the topic is give. It says, "I give freely and with love." Spiritual leaders teach the importance of giving, helping the underserved, and encouraging the disheartened. It is not the measurable quantity of what I give, but the spirit with which I give that matters most. The love I feel multiplies my giving and it expands in ever-widening circles of blessings. My gifts may inspire the recipient to give something as simple as a smile, a kind word of encouragement, or a thoughtful gesture. My gifts return to bless my life in unexpected ways. I give with love, with no expectation of return from the recipient. I broaden my perspective, mindful that the good I share will return to me at the perfect time, in the perfect way. The good will return to me at the perfect time, in the perfect way. Why does it feel so good to give, to be generous, to live in a sense of generosity? Why? Well, it's because generosity is love in action. It is God in action. Reverend Dr. Craig Harris said, "Smile. Stop here for a moment and smile. You do not need a reason to smile, for you are already connected, whether you feel it or not. So smile." I want to see everybody smile. Smile. Thank you. Take a moment to clear your mind as best as possible and then smile. Be conscious of how your body is responding to the muscles in your face that are creating a smile. The whole body will shift to be in alignment with your smiling. Your body is, your mind is also your body. And though you may be in a place where you're not up for smiling, you still have the authority to choose to do so. Smile. Just smile. Stick with this for a bit. Again, your mind is also part of your body, and you have made the decision to smile. You have taken charge of your mind, and now the mind has taken charge of the body. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them." John Randolph Price and his wife, Jan, wrote the Abundance book. This is just one of his little books. He has tons of them. And in it, he says, the good of the whole does begin with each individual. The good of the whole does begin with each individual. And Teresa Honeybell, who is the founder of Every Kid Counts, wrote, "How do you change your world? Go out and love somebody the way you need to be loved. Go out and love somebody the way you need to be loved." Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again." What we learn from that is, don't be stingy with your caring nature. Oneness and wholeness are your true nature. So the desire to give, the desire to share, is your innate nature. That's your natural way of being. Dr. Irvin Seal, who is a New Thought writer, said, "The power is not in the conditions, but in the mood you allow them to produce for your consciousness." The power is not in the conditions, but in the mood you allow them to produce in your consciousness. Now, many people tend to think that generosity means giving money to some organization to do good works. It is not. Giving money to an organization is legal charity. That's cool. You may be being generous if you do this, but you may also be generous, and you are generous, when you simply give of a moment of your time, a moment of your talent, a moment of your treasure. And your treasure is all the things that you have within you, not on you. People value things and they say, this is my treasure, this collection of things. But that collection of things has no meaning to anyone except you. To smile, to take somebody's hand, like in the song, it says, see the man with the lonely eyes, take his hand, you'll be surprised. What will you be surprised by? His receptivity and your sense of sharing and being a part of one life when you give your attention to an individual. There's an insert in your program today from Five Gifts for an Abundant Life by Reverend Diane Harmony. And it says in there, discover the gifts you can give to create a consciousness of wealth. These are things you want to give yourself, these gifts first. The gift of gratitude, intentions, forgiveness, tithing, and surrender. We can demonstrate how these gifts show up in our own lives, but we cannot do it for every individual on the planet. We can be present and encouraging as others learn to recognize these same spiritual principles and apply them in their own lives. We can be there for them, but we can't do it for them. We can practice the proven principles and watch our finances, our health, our relationships, and our career prosper. When we live in appreciation for all that we have, we are giving ourselves the gift of gratitude. And when we create our affluent future by giving ourselves the gift of intentions, it's because we set our intention and said, I'm naming it and I'm claiming it. We can free ourselves from the burdens of the past through the gift of forgiveness. And we can participate in the universal flow by giving the gift of tithing. We can release everything that is holding us back. Let go of what we think this has to happen before that can happen. Just let it go. Surrender to the process. Ernest Holmes is the founder of the Religious Science Movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. Let's take a look at what he says about giving a little bit. On page 613 in the glossary, it says he has a definition for money. Money is the symbol of God's substance, the idea of spiritual supply objectified. As God is spirit and man is God's creation, spirit is man's substance. But spirit is all, so money is an expression of substance. John Randolph Price also writes about money, but he spells it M period O period N period E period Y period. My own natural energy yield. Meaning it is where we put our attention, where the spiritual principles are in our life, that gives us this medium of exchange, this symbol of God's substance. And on page 615, about opportunity, Ernest writes, opportunity is fit or suitable time, a chance. There can be no lack of opportunity. To believe in lack would be to limit God. In the unseen, the supply for every want awaits demand. Desire for anything is the thing itself in incipiency. Soon as we want something, that desire is being acted upon by the law. He writes, life is open, rich, and full. As we realize our unity with the divine, our thought opens all doors to us. Undifferentiated spirit flows through us, inspires us, and sustains that inspiration through to manifestation. Opportunities are unlimited. It may seem like I'm reading a lot out of the glossary today, but I think it's important that we define the terms in a spiritual sense, because money has a different definition in this glossary than it does in the general outer world. And so does opportunity. It's not like opportunity is going to come banging on your door and drag you out and do something. No, opportunity is a continuous space, limitless, boundless space and place for us to be generous, to live in generosity and gratitude. So here's my third definition in here, receptivity. And no, I'm not talking about tuning in an old black and white TV with vacuum tubes. Not that kind of receptivity. Or an AM radio that we used to carry around with us in my youth. I'm not even sure anybody knows what an AM radio is anymore. But we had crystal radio sets, and we could build crystal radios. And we could receive radio stations on our crystal radios. It was very cool. This was what we did instead of go online, which there wasn't an online. But these are the ways we learned the sciences and the physical world through these experiments growing up. So receptivity, the power or capacity of receiving impressions, the quality of being able to absorb, hold, or contain capacity. The Spirit can only give us what we can take. And since the taking is a mental process, it is necessary for us to accept the fact that Spirit has already provided everything. Spirit has already provided everything. It's not like we can say, Spirit, do you have any apples? You know, I think I'd like an apple. And so apples already exist. We have already been given access to apples here in the world. So these are things that are already available to us. Every gift has already been given. When we are born, it is our birthright here on earth to have these earthly and spiritual things. When we are simply energy and we aren't in a body, everything is made of energy and God stuff. So everything is already available to us. We cannot think a new thought, because every thought is already in the mind, the one mind. Ernest wrote, "We can increase our receptivity by treating ourselves something after this manner, saying, there is that within me which knows, understands, accepts, believes, recognizes, and embodies. I know, and I know that I know. I believe and am conscious that I believe. I am confident of the power of my own word. I am confident of the power of my own word. And have implicit reliance upon the truth. I expect the truth to operate." When we look at our teaching symbol, we know that it represents the constant action of energy in the universe, in our lives, in the lives of an ant. You know, this same power, this same creative process works everywhere. So we can be confident that when we place a demand on the universe, we can expect it, the truth, to operate. In this manner, one becomes more and more conscious of a divine presence, power, and law responding to his word. Thus, one consciously builds up his receptivity of truth. When we are open to receive, and we consciously are aware of what's going on around us, and we see things that are coming to us, for us, as us, and that we have the opportunity to turn around and give of ourselves the same way we are receiving, then that's generosity. Our offering song starts out with, "I am filled to overflowing." Well, yeah, because everything has already been given. Already. So something within us knows that we know, and knowing that we know increases our consciousness of the divine. Did I do this? Yeah. Also in the Science of Mind textbook on page 301, about midway through the third paragraph and down into the fourth, we start talking about the power for good. He writes, "God has given us a power, and we must use it. We can do more towards saving the world by proving this law than all the charity that has ever been given. Remember, God is the silent power behind all things, always ready to pour into our experience that which we need. We must have a receptive and positive faith in the evidence of things not seen with the physical eye, but which are eternal in the heavens. All is mind, and we must provide a receptive avenue for it. As it passes out through us and into the outer expression of our affairs. If we allow the world's opinion to control our thinking, then that will be our demonstration. We already have all that we need to care for ourselves, to nurture ourselves, when we are receptive to the source and we demonstrate that which we are doing, that which we are knowing. First helpings, when we serve ourselves first, it allows us to do more to serve the world, because we cannot give from an empty vessel. And I know we have all heard that in one form or another, that we cannot give from an empty vessel. If we want to give love, we must first experience love. If we want to give a smile, we better first learn how to smile. And a lot of us learned it as kids when Mom and Dad got the little camera out and said, "Say cheese." So we would say cheese, and that gave our face the smile shape. I remember one time, I think it was my brother. My mom loved Limburger cheese, and it smelled. When she had Limburger cheese in the refrigerator, it was like, I did not want to get anything out of the refrigerator. So one day she said, she was taking pictures, said, "Say cheese," and my brother said, "Limburger." And so everybody had smiles except him with this "ugh" look on his face. On page 396, paragraphs 2 and 3, we're talking about reality. The law is a force of nature. And I can say it's a force of nature because it is perfectly natural. It is a spiritual principle that doesn't change. Ernest writes, the nature of reality is such that the universal mind has unlimited power. But so far as man is concerned, it has only the power which he gives to it. He gives it a power when he says, "I am weak, sick, and unhappy." It says for him what he first says for himself. And since for countless ages man has believed that which is not true of God, his body and environment reflect this limited concept of the universe. The law truly is a force of nature to be used and brought under conscious control. Man's conscious mind is the consciousness of God within him. He goes on, "Mind as law is helpless without direction. It has nowhere to go and nothing to do of itself. It must be directed or it will do nothing of permanent worth for man. Mind as law is unconscious intelligence and lives only through man. It is his to command, his servant. It has no desire of its own. Man is its desire, will, and purpose. Mind only has the power that we give it. The law will only say yes. So the question becomes, if I'm not directly, consciously directing the law for my good, for my life, for the good in the lives of others, what is the law doing? It is not sitting silently, not doing anything. It is acting on whatever it has been given, either consciously or unconsciously. So that I'm feeling weak, I'm sickly, the law says, "You got it. Okay. Weakness, sickliness, come on. We'll get that done for you." No, that's not what we want. So we don't want somebody else's beliefs controlling our own life. That is not what we want. Reverend Dr. Sylvia Erickson wrote, "Today I place myself in the stream of blessings continually pouring forth from God, the source of all good. Receiving my good, I give thanks and gladly share it with others, for I know that my givingness operates the law of giving and receiving. That which I give out freely and with love will reap my good, shaken together and running over 1,000-fold. I cannot give grudgingly or with a sense of duty or necessity, for this will block the law from operating. I cannot withhold my good from others, for then the law will withhold it from me. It is a truth that I can have as much good as I am willing to give." And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Today I remember the words of St. Paul, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. And we know that we just giving a little bit, if we just give a little bit of our time, a little bit of our love, a little smile, a little bit of our life, that we can have this sense of being at home. We can understand why it feels so good, because it is love in action. And so I thank you for your time, for your attention, as we all just give a little bit. Namaste.